Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We're grateful for the saints that have gathered here this morning, and we pray that as we have a short, abbreviated study this morning about how to have peace with God, that we would have open hearts and minds that are receptive and attentive to your word, Lord. We're grateful for these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Peace with God. Mankind has all sorts of different ideas about what it means to have peace with God. In our day, folks, humanity is striving in every way, shape, manner, and form to find satisfaction with God, to find a place where they feel that God is at peace with them, that they are at peace with God, and that they don't have to strive and struggle and try so hard. And there are a few common avenues that mankind often uses in an attempt to try to find peace with God. I just want to go over a couple of those with you right now, if we could. One of them is religion. Some people think that you can have peace with God or that you can have a relationship with God by going to church, by putting money in the offering, by, you know, doing acts of religious service, whether it's communion, whether it's, you know, baptism, whatever it might be. There are people that believe that peace with God is achieved through being religious and through performing certain religious activities and ordinances and requirements, and that's how the sinner is made right with God through this sort of sacramental mentality, tithing, all sorts of other things. Second, good works. There are a lot of people that think that the way it works is that it's just based on your work and your good things and your bad things. And if your good things outweigh your bad things, well, then God will have to let you into heaven. And they look at things and they compare themselves to other people. Well, I'm not as bad as that guy down the road over there because he's done this, this, and this, and I've never done that, and so I'm better than him, and God has to be happy with me. God has to be at peace with me. Some people get into philosophy, and they dabble and too much in philosophy, and they actually talk themselves out of believing in any type of a God or a higher power. And that's another prevalent thing that goes on in our day in 2012. And that leads to the fourth thing that's on the slide, and that's just atheism. That's just people that think, there isn't a God, I don't need God, I don't want God, it doesn't matter to me whether or not God exists, I'm fine where I am with who I am, and it doesn't matter, don't talk to me about God, don't talk to me about the Bible. Generally speaking, folks, people think it works like this. That there's a scale, and that when you die, God, you'll be stand before God, and God will call you to give account, and He'll take all the good deeds that you've done on one side, and all the bad deeds that you've done on the other side. And as you see up here on the screen, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, well then God is just going to have to let you in. You know, there's a few problems with that. Number one, you know whether or not you're going to get let in until you die. No, because nobody knows, according to this type of thinking, nobody knows till the end, till it's too late to do anything about it, whether or not they've done enough, worked enough, performed enough, done enough good things that God will accept and what have you. And the second problem with that, and more important, is that the Word of God is going to show us in a minute that this is not the way God is choosing to deal with human sin as a set of scales, where if your good things outweigh your bad things, well then He's just going to be obligated to let you into heaven. For a few minutes, I want to share with you some things from the Bible about how you can have peace with God. And I want to do that by just teaching for a few minutes on one verse. And the verse that I want to teach you is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. If you look at this verse with me, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do is break this verse down for you and explain it to you, because it needs to be understood if you are somebody that desires and wishes to have peace with God. Don't you wish you could get off the religious roller coaster of performance? Don't you wish that there is somebody that would teach you, somebody that would tell you that God is happy with you, not because you're such a great, wonderful person, but because of what Jesus Christ did for you? God is happy with the work of His Son. And the work of His Son that God is happy with is the work that He performed on the cross when He died for our sins and 3 days later rose from the dead. And the Apostle Paul here says, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, the word justify means here to render righteous. It means to render righteous or to declare or pronounce one to be just or righteous. Paul says in this verse that people that have believed what he has said so far throughout the book of Romans, Understand this is chapter 5. There are four chapters that have gone on before this. Paul is saying that the people that have understood, received, and believed the things that he said in the first four chapters, when you get to chapter 5, he says, therefore, being justified by faith. Paul says that these people that have believed the message have been declared righteous. They have been made right before God. They have been given a right standing before God Almighty. Okay? In other words, they are possessors of the very righteousness of God. That's what the word justified means. To be justified means to be declared righteous and to have God's very righteousness imputed to your account. Okay? You need to think of yourself as having a bank account with God. And what God does when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is He comes in and He gives you His very righteousness. He takes away your own performance, your own works, anything that you're trying to do, and He removes all that, and in its place He puts the very righteousness of God in to your account. And He says, being justified, therefore being justified by faith. I want you to notice, folks, that the person in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, what's the next word? Being. The people that He's talking to are in a state of being. And the state of being that they are in is that they have already been justified. They have already been declared righteous. And how is it, according to the verse, that they have been justified and that they have been declared righteous? It says, therefore being justified how? By faith. Folks, how did the people get the righteousness of God? How did they get justified? They got it by what? By faith. They got it by simply trusting a message from God. They did not get this righteousness by being religious. They did not get this righteousness by going to church, by being a good person. They got it by faith, okay? According to what verse 1 says. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now they were justified and declared righteous simply by faith alone. Come with me, if you would, back to Romans chapter 4. Go back to Romans chapter 4 and look with me, if you would, starting at verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. It says, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? When God came to Abraham and God told Abraham, listen, Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to move down over here and I want you to leave your family, forsaking everything here, and I want you to move. Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham received that. He heard what God said. He got up and he went and what? And he went and did it. And it says, according to verse 3, it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for what? For what? So it was the moment Abraham believed God back there in Genesis chapter 12 and got up and did what God said, did God impute Abraham's belief and Abraham's faith to him for righteousness according to what the Apostle Paul says. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Folks, that old mentality that the way I get to God is by being good. Understand what that verse says. It says, but to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. The more you work, the more you try to earn God's favor by your own performance and by your own works, the more debt you are incurring with Almighty God. Because it can only be by faith. Verse 5. Notice, but to him that worketh what? Not. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Folks, faith is not a work. Okay? Faith is the only thing that you can do without doing anything. Faith simply requires you to hear a message, receive that message, and then do what? Believe that message. Notice in verse 5, read it again. But to him that worketh not, so the righteousness of God is not going to be given to the person that is working for it. It's going to be given to the one that worketh not, read the rest of the verse, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Here it is, his what? Faith is counted for righteousness. Okay? So, how do we get the righteousness of God? There is something that you and I have to believe. There is something that you and I have to put our faith in if we are going to be imputed the very righteousness of God to our account. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. So we understand what it means to be justified. We understand that this righteousness from God, that this justification can only come by faith. It cannot come by works. Notice what it says. Therefore, being justified by faith, what's the next word? Have peace with who? Folks, you can have peace with God now. You can know that God is at peace with you. You don't have to wait until you die and hope that you're going to measure up. You can have the peace of God that comes from knowing that all of your sins are forgiven, and you can have it right now according to what the Word of God says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Notice in the verse that those who have been justified by faith and possess, in the present tense, peace with God. In other words, you can have peace with God when? Now. Right now. Right as you're sitting there in that chair. Right as you are in this church listening to the message that is being preached to you from the Word of God. You can have peace with God right now. God is at peace with those whom He has given righteousness, to whom He has given righteousness. And how did they get the righteousness? By faith. Folks, here's the thing. If you've never trusted that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, I'm sorry to tell you, but you don't have peace with God. You do not have peace with God. And I know that it's not popular. It's not a message that you hear often preached. But it is a fact from the Word of God that peace with God is only given to those who have by faith trusted in the Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death for them on the cross. If you have never believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you are sitting here in a state of lack, and what you lack is peace with God. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1, look with me at verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Paul talks about the gospel of Christ and how the gospel of the Christ has the power to save. It's the power of salvation. And notice that it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what? Believeth. When you believe, you get saved. You get your sins forgiven. You are saved from eternal separation and damnation. You are at peace with God. Notice verse 17. "For therein," that's in the gospel of Christ, in verse 16, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Look at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Folks, I want to tell you this morning, not because I'm mad at you, but because it's what the Word of God says. If you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only total, complete payment for your sin, you are sitting here in a situation where the wrath of God is abiding upon you. You do not have peace with God. And if you were to die in that situation, if you were to die in that circumstance, the justice of God demands that He punish humanity and He punish people for their sinfulness. When presenting the gospel of Christ, the very thing Paul does is announce to the sinner that the wrath of God is abiding upon him. In other words, if the sinner were to die in his or her trespasses and sins, the justice of God would be obligated to eternally punish that person for their sins. Having the wrath of God abiding upon you, folks, is the exact opposite of being at peace with God. If the wrath of God is abiding upon you, you are not at peace with God. You are at enmity with God. Come over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Most of you could probably quote this verse. But it says, "For all have what? Sinned." And because all have sinned, what is the result of human sin? "For all have sinned and come" what? "Short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Don't turn there, but it says, "For the wages of sin is" what? "Death." Folks, because all mankind are sinners before God, our good works, no matter how well intended, will always leave us short of the glory of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but every person in this room, you are an eternal being. You will spend eternity somewhere. When your body dies, your soul and your spirit are going to go somewhere. The question is, where are they going to go? Are they going to go to heaven to spend eternity with God? Or are they going to go to the place where no one likes to talk about, hell and the lake of fire, and suffer the punishment of eternal damnation and separation from God? Folks, these things are real. They're in the Bible. You can read them if you want. I know they're not popular to talk about in our day, but they're a fact from the Word of God. But here's the thing. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is what? Death." But does the verse stop there? No. The verse goes on to say, "But the gift of God is what? Eternal life." God the Father, through Jesus Christ, is offering everybody in this room right now the chance to have eternal life. And the chance to have peace with God, and the chance to not only to remove God's wrath from you, not only to remove the enmity from you, but to put in its place God's very righteousness. Folks, just as the justice of God is obligated to give eternal life to anybody that possesses perfect righteousness. Now, what's the problem with you and I in our natural state? We're sinners and we what? Come short of the glory of God. So because we come short of the glory of God, can we earn our own salvation? So Jesus Christ came and He went to the cross and He died and He paid the price. Come back to me if you would to Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." What's the next word? Through. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that peace with God comes through who? Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ did for us that which we could not do for ourselves. As sinners, do we fall short of the glory of God? So Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, comes to earth, incarnate in a little baby, lives for 33 years, and goes at the end of His life to go die on a cross for sin. And He did what you and I could never do, and that is totally and completely fulfill and do everything that God said to do. He kept the law. He was perfect. He never offended in any point what God the Father had given Him to do. And so when He goes there to that cross and He dies there as a accused man, wrongfully accused, and He sheds His blood and He pays the price that you and I deserve, on the basis of that, when we believe that, God says He'll give us His righteousness. And when He gives us His righteousness, we are then at peace with God. And now that we are possessors of the righteousness of God, now He can also give us eternal life. Notice that the peace of God comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as I said already, did for us that which we could not do for ourselves. And when Christ died on the cross, He satisfied the offended justice of God against sin. And He paid the sin debt for all of humanity. And He took our punishment for us so that we could freely be given the righteousness of God. A few more verses and we'll close. Come over to Romans chapter 3. Turn the page quickly over to Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 23 and 24. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Look at verse 24. Being what? Being justified, being declared righteous. What's the next word? Freely. What does free mean? First economic lesson. Free is good. Right? Anytime you can get something for free, we tend to take it, even if it's junk, right? Just because it's what? Now, eternal life is not junk. You need to not misunderstand me. But it is offered to you and I freely. It is nothing. We're talking about this with the kids. I had a present, and I brought it out, and I set it over here on the podium, and I said, "What is that?" They said, "It's a present." I said, if somebody gives you a present, what are they doing? And the kid said, they're giving it to you freely. Now, if I buy that present, does it cost me something? It costs me something so I can give it to you freely. Salvation costs the Lord Jesus Christ His own life. So that He can take eternal life as a free gift and say, here it is, won't you please accept it? Folks, what an affront it is to God Almighty when we say, that's great, that's nice, but I think I still need to do all these things. When we say that, what we're saying to God is that He didn't do enough. Therefore, being justified freely, what's the next word? By His what? Grace, through the redemption that is where? See, folks, redemption. The word redemption means to buy or redeem. What Jesus Christ did is He bought us out of our sin. He paid the price so that He could purchase us, so that He could buy us and deliver us out of our sin. And now that we've been delivered from our sin, what is put in the place of our sin is the very righteousness of who? Of God. So that we can then be at peace with God and be possessors of eternal life. Come over to 1 Corinthians. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reminded, folks, of the verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ was. He died for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now watch closely. How that Christ died for our what? Why did Christ die? He died for our sins. He died to take care of and to pay for everything that was wrong with us. Even that stuff that you hide deep in the recesses of your mind and heart. Even that stuff that you don't want anybody else to know about. Even the hatred and the bitterness and the resentment and all the things that are within us as human beings that we know are there, that we hide from other people because we don't want anybody to know them. All of that stuff, along with all the overt outward stuff, He took care of it, paid for what? All of it. Everything. Listen, folks, when He died on the cross for your sins, were you even alive yet? So are all of your sins future. He paid for the sins you committed yesterday, the sins you will commit today, and the sins you will commit tomorrow. And when you receive the free gift of eternal life, He takes and He gives you the total, complete forgiveness of all your sin. Colossians chapter 2, we don't have time to turn there. Verse 13 talks about how that He hath forgiven us all trespasses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, here it is, and that He was buried, and that He was. Rose again. Come with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll... Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 1. Getting ahead of myself from these notes, I do apologize. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Notice, in whom, that's in Christ, we, what's the next word? Have. We have. If you have something, what does it mean? It means you possess it when? Now. You don't gotta wait for it. It's not coming at some time down the line. It is something that you have and possess when? Now. In whom we have redemption. How? Through His blood, here it is, the forgiveness of sins. Now you need to notice, folks, when you read your Bible, you need to pay attention even to the tenses of the words. That doesn't say sin. It says sins. That little, in case you don't know, that little S on the end makes it what? Plural. So you have forgiveness of all of your what? Sins on the basis of the fact that you're redeemed through His what? Blood. In conclusion, Ephesians chapter 2, so how can you have your sins forgiven? How can you have God's very righteousness and peace? How can you know that you're at peace with God right now, this very instant where you're sitting? How can you know? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. Through what? There's the faith issue again. And not of yourselves. It is the what? It's the gift of God. Read verse 9. Not of what? Works. Why is it not of works? Lest any man should what? Folks, right here, right now, as you are sitting in this church, listening to me explain these verses, you can pass from death to life right now. You can have peace with God right now. All you have to do is do the one thing that you can do without doing anything, that is believe. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that as a sinner, you need a Savior, that you cannot earn your own salvation. Acknowledge that Christ died for your sin, that He died in your place, that He took your punishment, that He paid the price that was necessary for your sin. And when you put your faith right here, right now, right this very instant, in that and that alone, God Almighty will save you from your sin. He will take you, He will redeem you out of your sin, and He will replace your sin with the very righteousness of God, thereby allowing you to have peace with God now. Now. Somebody says that's too easy. It's too easy. It's got to be more complicated than that. Folks, if you in any way think it's more complicated than that, what you're telling God is that Christ didn't do enough. In the privacy of your own heart and mind right now, without coming forward, without saying a special prayer, without doing any act of religious performance and ritual, you can make a faith choice to believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again. And when you do, the moment, the very second you believe that, God the Holy Spirit takes you out of Adam, takes you, out of your sinful standing, and He gives you a total, complete, new standing in Jesus Christ, where all your sins are forgiven, you have the very righteousness of God imputed to your account, you have peace with God, you're accepted in the Beloved, you have the forgiveness of all your sins, and you are given the Holy Spirit as a seal unto the day of redemption, and you can know for sure right now that you have peace with God. There's no better news than that. We trust that you'll believe today that Christ died on the cross for your sins. If you have questions about that and you've never heard that before and you'd like to talk, we invite all of you to stay. There's going to be food and games. We want you to enjoy the time with your children and your families. And we invite anybody that is here this morning to come and stay, even if you didn't bring any food, even if you didn't know that you were visiting and you didn't know that it was going to be Vacation Bible School Sunday, you are all free to stay. Enjoy the food, enjoy the fellowship. But most importantly, don't leave here without having that eternal question settled. Don't let another day go by without knowing you have peace with God. So I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Folks, at this time I am going to have a word of prayer. And I'm not sure exactly what time the food is going to be ready, but we will pray right now for the meal. And then when I am done, I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward. And we will stand and we will sing one final song to close the service. And then, as I've already said, we invite everybody to stay. And if you have any questions about anything that I have said, please seek me or somebody else out and we'll be happy to help you and answer your questions. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the week that we were able to have in sharing the simplicity of the gospel and the free gift of salvation with the children. Lord, we pray now that as we've had an opportunity to present the clarity of the gospel to the adults, that if there's anyone here that has never trusted Jesus Christ and relied exclusively upon His finished work as the only total complete payment for their sin, and is tired of struggling and wondering if they measure up and if God will accept them, that they will just relax and come to a place in their heart and mind where they understand that Jesus Christ paid the price that was necessary, and all we have to do is by faith rely on what He did for us. Lord, we pray that as we move on from this service into the rest of the day's activities and the food, we pray that you would that we'd be grateful for the food that we're going to receive, that this would be a time of fellowship and just fun for all family and friends. And we're grateful for all that have come out and chose to be a part of this service, and for the week that we had in Vacation Bible School, for the helpers, for the organizers, for the singers, for the teachers, for the cooks, for the chaperones, the games, all the different things that went into it. We're grateful for all these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.